Well, good morning. Am I on? Testing 1, 2. I'm not used to this. I feel like I'm saddled up here this morning. You know, my father always said, you can't learn any younger. And there's a first time for everything. So I guess this is a first for me this morning. So I covered your prayers this morning. And I do feel your prayers. I know many of you have been telling me you've been praying, and I appreciate that. And God is faithful. Well, two words came to my mind soon after Luke had asked me if I would consider speaking this morning. Of course, my first thought was, oh my. But I just felt in my spirit, I woke up Saturday morning. I think we had a board meeting Friday morning, something like that. But I woke up and the Lord said, just think of it as you're sitting there in your living room with your small group kind of thing. So you're just a little bigger this morning, but that's okay. But my prayer this morning is that you would hear the voice of the Lord through me. And you know, naturally I'm human, so you will hear a little bit of me. But the two words that God spoke to me is prayer and boldness. The title of the message this morning is The Importance of Obedience, Faithfulness, and Boldness as it relates to prayer. This past year has been a journey in my life, as I'm going to share a little bit of a testimony of what God has been doing in my life and stirring within me the desire to pray more. You know, each and every one of us, or most of us, have been raised in Christian homes where we were taught to pray at an early age as a young child. But the most important prayer that any one of us has done here this morning, or can do, is repent of our sin and ask Christ into our lives. And I think so often, prayer, I know in my life, sometimes I take it for granted. I don't take it seriously enough. And some of the things that God has been speaking to me this past year is with individuals in my life that it's maybe it's harder for me to love, or I don't connect with, or I'm disappointed in a decision they have made as a Christian, or and not necessarily immoral. Now, I did have a situation this year, a neighbor who made an ungodly decision, and it was very trying for me as I reached out to him. And but those kind of things. Also, God has been challenging me in the area of prayer life. You know, sometimes we can kind of go through the routine. When we're in public, it's easy to say the right things and do the right things. But one of the things I have found in the busyness of life, sometimes I can become very calloused and casual with the Lord. You know, at home, and sometimes I'm thinking about the next thing. You know, I'm thinking about my day, I'm thinking about the next thing instead of being fervently in prayer. God has also been challenging me in the areas of being specific in prayers and being strategic. And one of the things that I'll be getting into this morning is, a little bit later in the message, is something that we as a family at Christmas time, we have sat down and watched the movie War Room. And many of you may have seen the movie Fireproof, Courageous, and challenging biblical principles in our walk with Christ. But in War Room, without letting you in too much in the movie, because I know that, you know, if you haven't seen it yet, that's not good. But War Room is specifically talking about a closet where this elderly widow lady took time to pray, and she would put prayer requests on the wall. She would put also answers to God's prayers. And then during the storyline, there was a young couple who had a child who went to church, but they weren't really committed Christians, and they were struggling and their relationship with one another. Her husband was in the marketplace a lot and was being tempted. And through this widow lady, she challenged her in her prayer life. And later on, she turned her closet into a prayer room. And each one of us, I believe we need that special place, wherever it is, to cry out to God. And, you know, the battle is not ours, it's the Lord's, but there is things that God does ask us to do. And God wants us to be intentional and bringing our praises to Him, our requests to Him, not just for ourselves, for our marriages, for our families, for our, for our church family, church leaders, the community, and the world. A couple of the things that came to my mind was, I'm getting to that, I don't want to say midlife crisis, I'll be 50 this year, but I was reminded recently how life is passing us by. And recently, Dawn and I had the opportunity to be with my mother and daddy in the hospital. My dad has been struggling with pre-cancer, not serious, but it could turn into be serious. And I remember, as I'm reflecting back on my life, I remember many times my father at the meal table praying, and also those family times of devotions where we would spend time praying to the Lord about different requests and so on, even though there was memories of drifting in and out of sleep, but those were precious memories. And it challenges me as I start reflecting on my life. Our children are now 16 and up, and you know, you start analyzing, what could have I done more? Something was very touching as I was by the bedside of my father before he went into surgery. He breathed a prayer to the Lord, "You are the one who gives and takes away." And it's just a challenge to me. And my father's 85. We don't know how many more years we'll be here. But to know the faith of my father. But you know, when my parents aren't here, as I'm out in the marketplace, and I referred to the marketplace a little bit in the movie, but personally in my life, as I'm out in the marketplace, I'm thankful to God for my heritage. But you know, my parents can't always be there, but the Lord is always there. Do I cry out to him? Do I go to him for strength? And I'm thankful for a local body like New Covenant. I'm thankful for the small group structure that keeps the accountability. Also, tied in with the movie, the book, The Battle Plan for Prayer, is something I've been reading through, which I'll get into a little bit more specifics a little bit later about some of the strategies and helping us to be preemptive, offensive, and defensively as well in our walk with the Lord. And how do we pray in those ways? But Jesus was our perfect example. In Matthew, and you can turn to this, Matthew 6:6-13. Matthew 6:6-13 says, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, 'Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil, from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.'" I'm so thankful this morning for Jesus being our perfect example of prayer. Something I was thinking about as well, you know, people in every religion pray. But we are the only religion, and I don't even like using the word religion, but we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has risen from the dead, and we pray to a living Lord. We don't pray to a dead God as the other religions do. Psalms 119:10 says, "With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments." I believe as we come to the Lord, as we journey in our walk with the Lord, we need to continue. It's a continual, in other words, Paul says, "I die daily." It's not something that just happens. We need to be intentional about our prayer life and pouring our hearts out to God. As I was studying the last 2 or 3 weeks, I mentioned the title, Obedience, Faithfulness, and Boldness. You know, I believe as you and I are intentional on a day-to-day basis to spend time with the Lord in the morning before we go to work, And throughout the day, you know, being in a spirit of prayer, you know, the Bible says pray without ceasing. That doesn't always mean that we're always literally praying out loud, but being in that attitude of prayer. And I believe as we spend time in the Word, God will help us to know how to pray. Being obedient to God in prayer according to His Word will prepare us to stay faithful in our walk with Jesus. 1 John 5, 2-3 says, "By this we know that we, the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." Are commandments burdensome to us? Is it a burden to pray? And if each one of us are honest, there is times it is. But, you know, God is longing for that deep relationship to spend time in worshiping Him, not just praying through those tough times, but thanking Him that He is the God of the universe that we can go to in times of need. Faithfulness. What does it mean in faithfulness in our prayer life? It's something, like I said, we have to be intentional. It's an ongoing thing. And I believe by staying faithful in our prayer life, one of the things we need to do is staying in the Word. We need to be part of a body of like-minded believers, spending time in worship to the Lord, keeping our lives pure and clean, as the song said here this morning. And thank you, worship team, for the songs. It just seemed like they're very fitting with some of the things that will be coming out this morning. Romans 8:28 says, "All things work together for good to those who love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose." So those of us who love the Lord, the God's purpose will be fulfilled in us when we choose to love Him with our heart, soul, and mind, and choose to obey His commandments. I love this phrase I pulled out of somewhere. It says, "Goal of faithfulness is not that we will do work for God, but that He will be free to do His work through us." You know, so often in our culture and in our backgrounds, we tend to be very performance-oriented. And we want to do well, but are we doing it for ourselves, or are we doing it as unto the Lord? Are we allowing the Lord to work in and through us? The third word is boldness. You may think of somebody praying in the marketplace, being very public and just with a megaphone and praying out loud. But boldness can have different meanings. And this morning, it's not about being obnoxious. It's not about being prideful and that type of thing. But I believe boldness in the prayer life, as we spend time with the Lord, it will create in us a holy fear for God instead of a fear for man around us. And I believe one of the things is just, and I don't want to go far on this at all, but we know we're in a political year here in our country. But I believe more seriously, we're in a spiritual warfare that's going on. And I believe more than anything, until we return to God, there's no hope for America, there's no hope for our nation. So it's very important that we realize that Jesus didn't come just for America, but He came for all souls around the world. So whatever comes our way, when we have a holy fear of God, the Lord will give us the strength to come against the enemy in the name of Jesus. You know, I do believe God is calls us, you know, as we're out in the public, if we're in a restaurant, I believe we daresn't be ashamed as we pray. But I believe boldness is also those things we do in the secret place when no one's looking. Are we bold enough to be strong at home with our families, to turn the TV channel when there's something comes on that is not godly? Are we spending time with our family and family devotions and praying with one another? But I believe as we spend time in secret, each and every one of us, God will create that boldness and that courage when the time does come in the marketplace to be a witness for Christ. You know, talking about the marketplace, you know, one of the things I was also reflecting on in our backgrounds and the Anabaptist background, most of us come from farming backgrounds, very simple. And I guess I've been challenged personally in my life. I'm on the road a lot, and I know more and more individuals within our congregation, there's truckers, there's, you know, we're in different public settings. And are we willing to be bold for Christ where God has called us? Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and will find grace to help in time of need." I have a number of verses, and you don't need to go to these because I have these on these cards, but the next number of verses I'll be reading are God's promises in the Word relating to prayer and applications to prayer as well. And then I'll be also going into some different Bible characters and the examples they have been in different specifics in prayer life. Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you." So we need to be willing to seek. Matthew 18:19 says, "Again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." And the importance of coming together. You know, some people say, "Oh, I can just have church at home." But there is something about accountability, and it's something I really appreciate about here at New Covenant, is the coming together, the small groups, where there can be that working together, praying together for one another. You know, when you're on an island by yourself, there's no one to help you. And we need each other in times of need. Luke 11:13 says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" We have so much to be thankful for. Our Lord deeply cares about each one of us. Luke 11, 1-4 says, "Now it came to pass," and this is talking about Jesus, "as He was praying in a certain place when He ceased, that one of His disciples said to Him, 'Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples.' So He said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.'" As I alluded to earlier, here again, Jesus is the perfect example to His disciples. He's the perfect example to us. And Romans 12:2, it says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer." God is calling us not just to be a once-and-done prayer. And you know, something I was reflecting on, and I know we're not as traditional as some Mennonite churches or in the Catholic Church where they have liturgies and those types of things, but I believe in whatever form that we choose to worship, it can become formality if we ain't careful. We have to be intentional. You know, we can raise our hands and be far from God. We could be on our knees and far from God, but where's our hearts at? We can breathe a prayer, we can read a prayer, but are we really meaning it from the heart? Are we being intentional? Hebrews 10:19 says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus." 1 John 5:14 to 15. "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will," and let's remember that, you know, we live in a country where there's name and claim it. We need to be people who are willing to submit to God's will. It's about Him. It's not about us. "And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." At this time, I'll have you look up Ephesians 6:10 to 20 about putting on the whole armor of God. I think I need to slow down a little bit. Must be that there's butterflies. Ephesians 6:10 to 20. "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle," and this is very important, "we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers and the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So as we pray, you know, it's very important that we come before God in worship and adoration and repentance of our sin and asking God to put the armor of God upon us so that we will be prepared for when those times come. Philippians 4, 4 to 7. The title of this section is Be United, Joyful, and in Prayer. You know, God also calls us to be joyful. You know, there's serious parts. We need to put on the armor of God. The battle is real, but we also need to be joyful. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'll be reading from a few verses. You don't have to look up some biblical characters of examples. The first one is Genesis 20:17, talking about healing. So Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife and his female servants. Then they bore children. You know, God also calls us for times to pray for people for healing. Now, that doesn't always mean they're going to be healed. We need to submit to God's will. And one of the things, and I didn't look up the verse on this, but the anointing of oil, I know, is very important in the life of the church. There's times God calls for the elders to pray with an individual, or the individual comes to them and pray for that individual, maybe physically or spiritually. Jonah 2:1-2 says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me out of the belly of Sheol. I cried, and you heard my voice. Jonah was a man who disobeyed God, but he realized he was in affliction. He had rebelled against God, and you know, that's an encouragement to us. There's going to be times we slip and fall. The important thing is, are we willing to come back and repent and come back to Jesus? Luke 5:16 says, so he himself, Jesus, often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. And a reminder to us to often find time to pray. You can look this one up. Luke 18:9-14. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, an example of how we shouldn't pray and how we should pray. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Daniel was a perfect example, without looking it up, of a man who was willing to pray. You know, there was a law, a decree that went out in the land. He wasn't allowed to pray. They discovered he was praying, and of course we know the story. But the thought line that came to me, a challenge for myself and each one of us, when there's laws of our land that change against the word of God, are we willing to stand up? Are we willing to It could be prayer, but it could be in morals as well, as we know of some of the ungodly morals that have changed in the laws of the land this past year. Paul and Silas, Acts 16, 25 to 34, it talks about them praying and singing hymns. They knew the Lord, and they were in a difficult situation. They were in prison. But they took that opportunity, and here's an example for each of us. They took that opportunity to pray and to sing for them, and here the gatekeeper and the whole family was saved. If persecution comes to us, are we willing to turn the other cheek? Are we willing to pray for that individual? So staying obedient and faithful and bold in the times we live, it is a challenge. It can be difficult. But a reminder for each of us, again, as we spend time in prayer, to come before the Lord on a regular basis, worshiping Him, repenting of sin as it comes, as God convicts us, being specific, strategic, assertive, proactive, praying without ceasing, praying for those around us who need Jesus, praying for the less fortunate, being in a spirit of prayer at all times, staying on our knees. I read a statistic recently, and I hope I'm saying this right, the Barna Research Poll, I think they call it. 88% of evangelical youth, when they come to the age to decide what they're going to do, they leave church and never return again. Why is that? I look at myself. Have I done all the right things and connecting with my children and praying for my children? Allow God to speak to your life. What is lacking? Could it be prayer? The subject that we're focusing on this morning. Why are churches declining? Is it because of lack of prayer? Why aren't churches narrow-minded enough? Not taking the whole word of God, but just pulling bits and pieces or adding to it what they want. Why are churches today conforming and accepting instead of showing what the truth really is, believing in false doctrines? Churches have lost their voice for Jesus. Why is it? Are we not spending enough time in prayer? Do we deeply care for one another? I really believe as we spend more time in prayer, it will show in our lives. There was something. Oh, here we are. You know, several passages of the Bible will tell us clearly that God listens to when we pray. He hears every word and is compassionate. A reminder to all of us, sometimes the answer to our request is not yet. Sometimes the answers are even a flat no. But when we come before the Lord and lay what is in our hearts at His feet, He always finds a way to bless us and make everything work out for the best. He does this even when we don't get exactly what we want. God is so much wiser than we could ever hope to be. He knows what is best for us and provides it each time. All we have to do is share our concerns with Him and wait faithfully for what He will provide. God wants to be involved in our daily routines. He wants to hear from us and He waits for us. God never promises an easy life to us as Christians. If we allow Him, though, God will be there with us every step of the way. All we need to do is come to Him in prayer with these three simple words from 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Our lives can be fulfilling as we live to communicate to God. God's desire is to communicate with each and every one of us. You know, we accept Christ, but throughout our journey, it's a daily process as we come to know the Lord more, and He longs for that. Acts 4:31, a challenge for the church. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. My desire is for each and every one of us in the body of Christ here to be those kind of people. In Joshua 24:15, he says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We need to be intentional about serving the Lord in many ways, whether it's in reading the Word, spending time in prayer, and in our daily lives. Wow, the clock keeps moving. Peter and John were uneducated and untrained. Even without that, they still had boldness. We need to be brave and bold like Peter and John. It doesn't matter our talent, our education, intellect, etc. God can use us the way we are. We just need to be willing to face these fears and come before the Lord like Peter and John. I looked up the word prayer on my, excuse me for a minute. On my phone. And I thought this was interesting. It says, a solemn request. I Googled a solemn request for help or expression of thanks addressed to God or an object of worship. And, you know, I just never know what's going to come up on the phone sometimes, and you can't believe everything that's on the internet. But I thought that first part was very, very good. As I should be done here in, I think, in 10 minutes, I have a few chapters here in the book that I referred to. I'll be pulling some excerpts out, The Battle Plan for Prayer. If you want to be challenged in your prayer life, there's some things in here that really challenge me, and I just really wanted to read some of these before we bring this to a close. It says, the ways of God's Spirit in this chapter says, prayer is an admission that we are not in control and yet at the same time completely and confidently under God's control. God knows we often can forget to pray and not know what to pray or how we should be praying. We can ask for what we know but still not address the heart of an issue or cover even half of what should be requested. And yet God urges us to keep entering into prayer anyway, knowing He can lead us through the one He has deposited into our hearts. The Holy Spirit is the engine of the Christian life, guiding and empowering us to do what we cannot do on our own. He is the holy rushing wind of God, breathing life through every part of our prayer lives. Every believer in Jesus Christ has the Holy Spirit within them, but we must be filled with, submit to, and walk in the Spirit as opposed to following our sinful flesh. The command to be filled with the Spirit is not just for Christians and charismatic-leaning congregations. It is an imperative for every follower of Christ to obey. Every morning, we should be asking God to fill us with His Spirit as we worship Him and surrender all that we have and having to His loving Lordship for the day. When we are abiding in Christ, staying clean and close, and walking in surrendered obedience to Him, we will be much more in tune to the voice of God's Spirit within us. He will be giving us the mind of Christ. He will be convicting of us of our sin. Romans 8:26, He prays for us. The Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. He guides our praying. The Holy Spirit inwardly reminds and leads believers to cry out to our Father in prayer. For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry, Abba, Father. Some people question whether He communicates so personally to us, but the testimony of Scripture seems to indicate otherwise. He alerted Ananias to pray for Saul, Philip to share with the Ethiopian official, and us if we learn to obey Him. So how do we pray offensively? Part of a good strategy, a prayer strategy, is knowing how to pray against evil. We all know, of course, the dangers that lurk within temptation. We're well familiar with the enemy's arrows of fear, anger, lust, and jealousy. Near the beginning of the model prayer, Jesus taught us to pray for those three very important things we talked about earlier. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. This next paragraph really challenged me in a new way. You know, we do need to pray for those challenges that may come in our life or other people's lives. Just listen. So don't just pray against hardship, but pray for blessings also. Instead of merely praying against a divorce, for instance, Ask God to make your marriage a beautiful picture of the gospel of Christ and his love for his bride, and that he will use you to minister to others and advance the kingdom through your loving relationship as a husband and wife. Instead of praying that your church leaders won't fight during a business meeting, pray for loving unity and revival to break out, resulting in greater ministry opportunities. Scripture says in Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The Apostle Paul was a great example of this mindset when praying for his new brothers and sisters in the faith that he wrote in long uplifting terms in Colossians 1:9-12. This is how to pray proactively and go on the offense. Paul gives us more examples in Philippians 1:9-11, saying, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that ye may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So the next time that I face a tough situation or just spending daily time with the Lord in prayer, remember to pray both defensively and offensively, standing on the word of God when under attack, but also ask God specifically for good things to happen in your life and the lives of those you're praying for. Above all, pray that God would get the glory. Praying preemptively. Matthew 26:41 says, keep watching and praying that ye may not enter into temptation. We must first fight our battles on our knees before the battle rages in the natural realm. The Bible says we have a spiritual enemy who is out to steal, kill, and destroy us. Jesus himself recognized Satan and the devil. Christ repeatedly resisted and rebuked him throughout his ministry. The Bible says the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. In Matthew 6:13, do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We need to learn to pray preemptively, lifting our calendars. I'm sure all of us got calendars here, right? Now they're on our cell phones. And coming opportunities to the Lord, spiritually fastening our armor and asking God to guide, provide, empower, and protect us before stepping into the heat of combat. One thing that will help you is to understand how the enemy attacks. Distraction. We all have distractions. David wrote, I am restless in my complaint and am surely distracted because of the voice of the enemy. Satan will constantly try to get us off track, to focus on even good things which are not God's best. In our day of digital demands, the enemy can easily distract us by suggesting in our heads that we chase the ding of a text, the latest buzz. And somebody here this morning is going to text me while I was preaching, but I forgot to bring my phone, so. Anyway, now I'm interrupted. The latest buzz, or another 2-minute viral video, 100 times a day, even while praying, he would love to get us focused on our to-do list and the worries of the day instead of the Lord. So our Lord repeatedly warns us, watch and pray, stay on the alert. Deception. Jesus said, whatever Satan speaks a lie, which is all the time, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Strongholds, addictions, and sins are founded upon lies. They are a perversion of God's truth, promises never delivered, false advertising, sin will fail you, let you down, and leave you empty. He'll use lies to puff you up in pride or condemn you in the depths of depression, which brings us to derision. When he's not lying, he's usually running you down or running down someone else in your mind, bringing up things from your past, falsely presuming someone else's guilt. Yes, you've been forgiven in the blood of Christ, yet he keeps you scraping old wounds, inciting doubt. He's the accuser of the brethren. Division. One hallmark of the gospel is the loving unity it brings to people of all nations and backgrounds, ages and demographics, all in Christ, one in Christ. But Satan knows if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. Anger and argument among God's people may not destroy the gospel, but they can destroy our testimony and effectiveness in sharing it. Disunity paints Christians in our faces as being weak, hypocritical, and phony. When husbands and wives are at odds, when children and their parents clash, when the pastor and his deacon possess church quarrel, you can be sure the main culprit is actually the one you can't see stirring up division. We know is Satan. We must not live foolishly ignorant of his devices. We should pray for God to help us stay focused on his will, for his Holy Spirit to keep us walking in truth, for false accusations to be thrown down, and for love and unity to reign, love and unity to reign in our relationships. The last chapter, defensively. God's word says spiritual war is taking place around you, so you must take up the shield of faith. I read the verses earlier, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with all prayer and petition. Pray at all times in the Spirit. This next part, the following word, respond, and if you spell that out, R-E-S-P-O-N-D, acronym, is a powerful, biblically based battle plan to help us strategically respond to a personal attack of the enemy. Number one, R for resist. Resist Satan in Jesus' name. The name of Jesus Christ is above every other name. His name is the name in which we pray, are healed, and cast out demons. There is a reason why the name of Jesus Christ is used. And this is very interesting. For cursing and profanity in movies and television, never Buddha or Muhammad. Because it is the name of power that Satan must submit to and wants to dishonor. We should never speak Jesus' name irreverently. He is holy. E for escape. Escape with Scripture. God promises to always provide a way of escape from temptation through reading the Scripture. S for search. Search for unconfessed sin. Times of testing should become catalysts for cleansing. The enemy's attacks today may or may not be because of yesterday's sin. Regardless, we should pray. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. P for plead the blood of Christ. When we admit sin and plead for God to cleanse us by his blood, he is faithful to forgive us and to wash us from all unrighteousness. O for overtake, ground given to Satan in spiritual warfare. We are wrestling against principalities and powers. I talked about earlier. Rulers of darkness who claim jurisdiction, but through the cross, Jesus fully disarmed the power of the enemy. N for name. Name someone in targeted prayer. After the Apostle Paul discussed the sword of the Spirit, he said we should get busy praying for others. But not only does this strategy help others, it helps us as well. Instead of continuing to wrestle with a temptation or a lie or on not sinning, we can just refocus on interceding for others. D for delight. Delight ourselves in the Lord. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. So as we break these down simply respond, R, resist Satan in Jesus' name, escape with Scripture, search for unconfessed sin in our lives, plead the blood of Christ, overtake ground given to Satan, name someone in targeted prayer, pray for one another, and delight in the Lord. So as we bring this to a close this morning, my heart's desire for myself and each one of us that we would become a people praying without ceasing, living in a spirit of prayer. Pray individually for our walk with the Lord, for the people in our lives, our marriages, our families, our neighbors, our fellow employees, for our church leaders, our church family, those in our small group. A challenge for each of us. What about prayer meeting? Is God calling us out to prayer meeting? Spend more time in prayer here at church to pray for the body and those around us. To pray for our government leaders. As we're reminded of the perilous times around us, may we pray for revival, first of all, in our lives, our church and community, so that we as a body may be a witness for Christ to those that we come in contact with, whether it's locally, regionally, or around the world. So how are you and I doing? Are we hot? Are we cold in our prayer life? Are we bringing our praises, our struggles, the pains of this earth to the doors of heaven? God is longing to hear us. He's asking for us to pray often. Remember, God is our defense attorney. He's on our side. He is asking us to occupy until he comes. So let's trust in him. Do we have a strategy? Victories don't come by accident. Let us go to the word of God. Let us encourage one another until the Lord returns. I have one brief reading and then we'll go in prayer. Some of this stuff is very heavy, but it's real. There's something about a child. You know, our children have grown up, and it's interesting how life has a way of, you know, none of our children are married yet, but I start looking around, and I'm starting to notice children more again for some reason. Is there a reason for that, Luke? Okay. But I just want to end it on this note. It just is challenging. You know, God longs for us to, he's not intimidated by us. We shouldn't be intimidated by him. He loves us. He cares for us. I saw two children walking together today, happily exchanging words and glances, laughing aloud at shared jokes. They didn't worry about the cracks in the sidewalk or the bumps in the road, but rather skipped along over them. God wants our walk with him to be just like that, enjoying his company, sharing together and crossing the rough places on our journey home without the slightest care. As Luke mentioned this morning, we're having a fellowship meal. I'm sure you're hungry. I know I am. My wife said you'll be really hungry when you're done preaching. So. but seriously, I'll be thanking the Lord for the food and the prayer. Immediately following the prayer, I have a song that'll be played. Feel free to come to the altar if there's something God is asking you to bring to him today. And immediately after the song is played on the sound system, you can consider yourself dismissed. Lord, I thank you today for your love, your faithfulness once again. How human each of us are, how much we need you. We know as we look around, we see the things in the news, we read the news, and the blink of an eye, it's on our smartphones. We know what's going on. Lord, remind us to stay in the Word of God, to stay on our knees, to pray for our walks with Christ so that we can be the kind of, we as men can be the kind of leaders you have called us to be in our homes and in our churches. Remind us to pray for our marriage partner, our families, and those around us. And Father, forgive us of so often of not seeing the value of prayer. When we know that every other religion in the world, their God is dead, but you're living and alive and you're powerful to set us free. Lord, we thank you now for the food that you prepared for us, and just bless it to the strengthening of our bodies. And Father, just this morning, let us allow you, your Holy Spirit, to speak to us through this message. How are we doing? Let us be people of prayer in your name. Amen.
There is hope, revival. Jesus.